Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf HaYomi, Maseches Makos Daf Yud Ches. We begin five lines from the top of the Omed Gufa. Let's go back to yesterday, where Rabbah tells us, a halacha, Omar Rav, Zor, if he's a Yisrael, a non-Kohen, she'ochal who ate from a karban, no less than an oila. An oila, nobody's meant to eat it. It's meant to be burnt completely on the mizbeach. So this fellow ate an oila. Not only that, in the wrong time, in the wrong place. Zar she'achal min oila lefnei zrika, before the zrika of the dam on the mizbeach, which is another no-no, chutz l'chaima, outside, not only the azara, but also outside Yerushalayim. So this act earns him a total of no less than five violations, five isurim. Lida b'shimon, according to that shita discussed yesterday, loike chamesh, he gets five times malchus. And as the Gemara discussed yesterday, not necessarily five times malchus, but certainly five reasons for malchus, five isurim, because some of them cannot earn malchus because they're based on Kal v'chomer, as we discussed yesterday. But it's a total of five isurim, some of which generate malchus. Question: why only five? V'lil kinami mishum v'zar lo yoichal ki kodesh hem. This is a pasuk by the karbonis in the midbar, the miluim. The kohanim are meant to consume the karbonis, but a zar lo yoichal. Why ki kodesh hem? Let's apply that lav here as well and add another layer of isur. The answer is, it doesn't apply in this case of an oila which is not meant to be eaten by anybody. When does that lav apply? When it's a carbon meant for kohanim, okay, them, yes, and you, no. It's not really fit for kohanim as well. It's meant to be offered completely on the mizbeach. So this lav does not apply. What about v'lul kinami? You should get malchus because of the next pasuk, mishum u'basar besada treifel eisechelu. So basar, which is in the field, and the Gemara learns, it's a reference to karbanos taken out of their domain, out of their area, out of the place where they're meant to be, out of the azor, out of the Beis Hamikdash, out of the Yerushalayim. Kiva sheyatza basar chutz l'mechitza asay. So you have the oila taken out of its enclosure, out of the Beis HaMikdash, Nasar. Rashi says, it's a special drasha because it says a basar, so basar is a reference to kachi kachim outside the Azara. So it becomes asur, and that should add another layer of isur here as well. The same answer as we said a minute ago, ha nimili, that's only applicable hechad b'efnim chazi, when the karban is a standard karban, which is meant to be consumed inside the Azara, by the Kehanim. Haha, here, by the Oilo, the Bifnim, Namel Lechaz, it's not meant to be consumed by humans inside either. Thus, this Isser would not apply. What about the next Isser? Vilil Kinami, let's apply Malchus as well for the next reason. Kedar Bliezer. Loi Ye Ocheil. So here we're speaking about a carbon which became pasul, noisar, and you meant to burn it, not meant to eat it. Lo yachol ki kodesh heim. And this added lashon ki kodesh. It's obviously kodesh. Why is it necessary to add that expression? Coming to teach you, kol shebekodesh pasul any disqualified carbon is not meant to be consumed. The Torah here is instructing that there's a loisase in all karbanos that are pasul, including our oila, which was taken out of its domain, which became pasul. How did it become pasul? It's called psul yaitse, something which is taken out of the Beis HaMikdash, becomes pasul. So there's another reason for iser. Hanimili, that's only true. Hecha dekoidim psul lechazi. Same answer as we said a minute ago. All these isurim are only applicable when the karban is meant to be consumed in its proper form, in its proper place and time. But here, hacha, the koidim psul, before it became pasul, on account of it being taken out of its place, so before yoytze was applied, nami l'chazi, it wasn't meant to be consumed by a human. It was meant to be offered on the mizbeach. Again, this psul does not apply in this case. What about the fourth possibility? Vilul kinami kidoch. The Rebbe Lezer. What about the other Rebbe Lezer? The Sani Rebbe Lezer Omer. Kol shu bekalatia. Any offering which is meant to be completely consumed on the mizbeach, like sometimes a mincha brought by a kohen has that halacha. So we learned that litain lo yisasei al achilasei is a special lav upon eating it. So whether it's a mincha, whether it's an oila, which is meant to be kalil on the mizbeach, that's another reason for Isra. And Echanami, you're right, that would be another reason for Isra and for Malkus. For Rava, and Rava only mentioned the other ones, he agrees that this would apply as well, but he was just focusing on, you know, that pasuk from yesterday, and all the items included in that pasuk. Mehai Kroka Amar was only referring to that pasuk. But of course, if you find more pasukim and more reasons for Isser and for Malkus, I'm in full agreement. Amar Avgidol Morav, what about a kain she'achal mechatas v'asham, which is really meant for him, but in the wrong time, lefnei zrika, before zrika, like he gets Malkus. My timer, where's your source? Damakro, v'ach lo oisem mashal kurpa behem. They're meant to consume the karbonis after the atonement process has been achieved, after the zrika. La'acha kapar, after kapar, in, then you eat it. And we derive from here, we infer from here, although it's not a clear pasuk, but it's an inference, a diuk. Eat it then, but not prior to that point. Lefnei kapara, don't eat it, lai. So even though it's a lav, it's a negative commandment, that's haba mechlal asay, that's derived from a positive instruct, eat it now, apparently not prior, that has a status of a lav, it's a lavu, and generates malchus, which is a big chiddush, because it's really extracted from an asay, which doesn't generate malchus. Masiv Rava, so Rava has a kasher on this point. How could you say that has a full-fledged status of a malka, of a lav for malchus? V'chol behema, we have the pasuk in Parashat Shemini regarding kosher animals. Any animal that exhibits signs of kosher, v'chol behema mafreses parsa, v'shisah shesa, right, has the split hooves, etc. Shtei parses, malas geru behema oisa techelo, choose its cud, go for it, it's kosher. The word oisa tells you only these are meant to be consumed. Oisa techelo, v'ein behema acheras techelo, but other animals which don't exhibit these signs of kashrus, they're deemed not kosher and don't eat it. So here again, it's an example of a lav, of a no, extracted from a yes. And if it is, as you are telling me, that a lav habo mechal aseh has the status of a lav, let's look at the other pasuk, which says, well, the following animals are off limits, don't eat them, such and such and such and such, because they're not kosher. Lamali, why is that necessary? That's superfluous, because you already know. Only those and nothing else. Apparently it's not so simple to generate a lav from an essay. So that's why he disagrees with Rav Gidlom and Rav's statement. Elo ki itma, ki itma, rather. If it was taught, it was meant to be taught as follows. This is the correct version. Amar Rav Gidlom and Rav. We're not speaking about a kohen who ate a chatas before zrika, that he gets malchus. No, zor, a non-kohen, she'ochal mechatas v'asham lefnei zrika. Actually, he's potter. There's no malchus. As we explained before, because my time, Adamaka, the pasuk says, v'ach lo yisam ha'shal kurpa behem. So the proper consumers, the kohanim, should be eating the karbonis. And the pasuk concludes, v'zor lo yoyichal ki kodeshem, but not a zor. So we link the two parts of the pasuk. My time, Adam Akrav, Ochel Oysa Mashal Kupra Behem. Kol Heicha de Karina Bey, Ochel Oysa Mashal Kupra Behem. In a situation where we apply the first part of the Pasuk, Kehanim, yes, go eat it. Then we apply the second part of the Pasuk as well. Karina Bey, we apply, Vizar Einan Koin Loyechel Koidish, or Ki Koidishim. Right? So it's connected, it's linked. When you eat it, I don't. Kol Heicha de Karina Bey. So only after Zrika, when it's meant for you, then it's not meant for me. Then there's a lav. But in the case, but before Zrika, where part A of the pasuk is not applicable either, it's not yet meant for you, Koyanim. Likewise, part B of the pasuk doesn't apply as well. There's no malchus upon a zor eating it in this stage either. Let's go over to Bikurim, which entails a three-pronged process. You bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, you do tenufa, you wave it back and forth, like a mincha. You do hanocha, you lay it down by the mizbeach, and you do kriya. Well, not in this order, but right, these are the three steps. You do kriya, you call out, you declare your appreciation to Hashem, your hakaras hatov, by reciting those pesukim, right, in the parsha. So which element is actually critical? Which is mi'akev? Amar Blazer, Amar Yeshua, Bikurim, Hanocha ma'akev asben. Laying it by the mizbeach, that's important, that's critical. Kriya, but doing the kriyas bikurim, ein ma'akev asben, does not really hold back the process, it's not critical. This is in contrast to the opinion we had the other day in Daf Yud Zayin, where kriya is ma'akev as well. Asks the Gemara, Umi Amar Blazer, hachi, really, is that so? V'amar Blazer, Blazer himself tells us, in the name of Rav Yeshua, Amar Yeshua, it would seem that kriya is very critical. Hifrish bikurim kaidim l'chag. So a person designated bikurim, the first fruits, before chag, which is typically a reference to sukkahs. By the way, all the Yom Tovim are called chag in the Torah. Chag HaMatzos, chag HaShavuos, and chag HaSukkahs. So why is only sukkahs referred to as chag? You know, just the word chag alone typically refers to sukkahs in the Mishnahs and the Gemara. The Tosis Yom Tov in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis, explains because although technically the term chag applies equally to all Yom Tovim, but on sukkahs especially it was a simcha, a time of simcha, Yisera added happiness and glee and joy. They had the Beis HaShe'eva, there was dancing, there was singing, there was rejoicing and celebration, and chag in this case refers to a machag, a circle. They would dance in circles, hence the term relates specifically to sukkahs. Interesting observation. So in any case, if one was mafresh bikurim kaidim l'chagi, he put aside the bikurim before sukkahs, with the intent of bringing it before sukkahs, explains the Ramban, which is really a time that you bring and you do the mikra bikurim, because as Rashi explains, not always are you required to do mikra bikurim. It's only applicable when you deliver the bikurim to Beis HaMikdash during the joyous gathering part of the year, which is from Shavuos to Sukkos. If you bring it after Sukkos, then you bring it, but you don't do the mikra bikurim. You don't have that same expression of glee and satisfaction. It's already, post-climax. So during the joyous part of the season, where the farmer really gets his intense satisfaction from seeing the, fruits of his labor, then you come and you call out to Hashem, "Ah, Hashem, thank you, I appreciate everything you have done for me. You are the one that's the Moitzi Lechem, I'm not the one that's, right? I worked, I told, but you're the Moitzi Lechem in Aretz." So that applies during the period between Shavuos and Sukkos. So he intended on bringing it before Sukkos, which really necessitates Kriya, and he diddle-daddled, he procrastinated, and he only brought the apple, the fruit after Sukkos when it's no longer time for kriya of the parasha. What happens now? Okay, so Yifrish Bikurim Kodem L'Chag, he was mafresh before Sukkos with the intent of bringing it. V'avar Lein HaChag, and now it's past Sukkos. Yirakvu, you can't bring them. They're left to rot. Why not? We're assuming because he can no longer do the kriya. My love, Meshum Zulam Masil Mikriya Lein. Right? Now, if you're telling me that kriya is never critical, so what's the big deal? Just bring it without kriya. Am I yirakvu? You're right, says the Gemara. If you would have intended on bringing it initially after Sukkos, then it's fine without kriya. Here it's worse, because the chiyuv, the obligation to do the kriya, has already been activated, has already been triggered. And now that he can't do the kriya, it's worse off than had he have never intended on doing kriya, i.e. designating it, separating it after Sukkos. It's worse now, when you meant to and you can't. Because the item now requires it and you can't do it. In a similar case by Mincha. So, if you put in too much flour, right? You can bring a huge Mincha if you want, but make sure that it would allow for mixing with the oil. Even though mixing itself technically is not critical. If you don't do it, you're still fulfilling your obligation. It's a kosher mincha. But if you have a mincha which is so saturated with flour, you can't even mix it properly. Don't rabzei to kolaroy lebila. If the mincha is bila enabled, you can mix it, then even without mixing it, you still have the right form, you have the right format, you have the right material, it's okay. Ain bila makeves boy, mixing it is not critical. But if the mincha doesn't allow for mixing, it's not mixing enabled, so to speak, then the requirement for bila, for mixing, is makeves boy, is critical. And this qualifies it, because you can't take it through the process properly. Same thing with bikurim, even though technically, if you skip mikra bikurim, you're yotze. But if you bring in something which requires, and you can't, like in this case where it's ready after sukkahs, so this material which was meant to have mikra bikurim because it was designated for sukkahs, now can't, because it's no longer a time of simcha, you're worse off. Okay, so bottom line is, Rabbi Elazar quotes Rabbi Yeshua that hanochas bikurim is ma'akev but not kriya. Here comes another version. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Masn Lok Rav Asi, the Rav Asi from Rabbi Yechonah. He quoted this halacha from Rabbi Yechonah, and that generated a kash. A kashy lay. He had actually a contradiction within Rabbi Yechonah. To Rabbi Yechonah, ad Rabbi Yechonah, as follows: Umi Omar Rabbi Yechonah Bikurim Hanocha Ma'akeves. Is that so? That according to Rabbi Yechonah, by Bikurim, only laying it down by the mezbeach is critical. Ma'akeves ben Bakriya is not ma'akev, in ma'akeves ben, v'ha. But we have a story where boy minei Rabbi Asi asked the question of Rabbi Yechonah. Bikurim, mimasai mutaran l'kehanim. At what point are the kehanim able to consume the bikurim fruit? At what point in the process? V'amar lein, he said, look, haru'in l'kriya, mishkara lein, those that are meant to have the kriya after reading. V'shein ruin l'kriya, those are not meant to have the kriya. As soon as he delivered it to the Beis HaMikdash, mishiro p'nei abayis, which sounds like even before he laid it down by the mizbeach. So here he's saying that Kriya is ma'akev when it's needed, when it's possible, when it's applicable. But Hanacha is not ma'akev. A minute ago he said just the opposite. Hanacha is and Kriya is not. So we have a double contradiction between Kriya to Kriya and Hanacha to Hanacha, right? Kasha Kriya Kriya, Kasha Hanacha Hanacha. Answers the Gemara, you're right, but it was reflective of two opinions. Kriya Kriya like Kasha, we can answer the question regarding Kriya. Ha Rabbi Shimon, Ha Rabbanon. When he said Kriya is ma'akev, that was reflective of Rabbi Shimon's opinion, which we discussed yesterday, who holds that Kriya is critical. But the other quote was reflective of the Rabbanon, who holds that it's not ma'akev. Regarding the other contradiction between Hanocha nami lekashya, again, difference of opinions that we find amongst the Tanoim already. Ha Rabbi Yehuda va Rabbanon. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, Hanocha is not ma'akev, as opposed to the Rabbanon who holds that it is ma'akev. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Torah only discusses Hanacha one time, and when it's only discussed once without a repetition, it's not critical. Whereas the Rabbanon, which is actually going to be a sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, there is a double mention of Hanacha, which denotes criticality. Ha Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanon. My Rabbi Yehuda, where do we find Rabbi Yehuda? The son of Rabbi Yehuda Omer. V'nachdoi, the pasuk says, you bring the bikurim, and it says, "Valaka hakayin atanim yadecha." The kohen receives it from your hands. V'inicha lefnei mizbeach Hashem lekecha, places it before the mizbeach. But we have another pasuk, "V'inachtoi," which sounds like placing it down, right? No, zutnufa. It's referring to the tnufa process of waving it back and forth, and Rashi seems to learn that the drasha is based on reading it like it would say v'hinchisoy, and it's like v'loy nochem alekim in the beginning of Parshas Bishalach Hashem did not lead them, choose not to lead Klal Yisrael through this area, and that describes the tenufa process, leading it in all directions, waving it back and forth. You're saying it's tnufa. Perhaps v'nachtei refers to placing it, literally placing it by the mizbeach. In which case, it would be the second time the pasuk is mentioning it, which makes it critical. It's the halacha when the pasuk is shino la'akosef by karbanos. When the Torah repeats something, it's mi'akev. No, kishu oima v'nichai. Once the pasuk says v'nichai, Hariyanocha Omer. That's laying it by the Mizbeach. Ho'amani Mekayim V'inachte. Why is the Torah repeating the word V'inachte? Not the same process. Rather, Zutunufa is going on Tunufa. According to Rida, Hanocha is not Me'akev, because it's only said once in the Pasuk. On the other hand, Uman Tana de Polygale, the Rabbidu, who's the opinion that differs with that disagrees with him? Who holds that Tnuf that Hanocha is Ma'akiv? Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, the Sanya. According to him, the word Vinachte is referring to placing it before the Mizbeach, because he learns Tnufa from a different source. The Sanya, Velokach HaKoyin HaTenu Yedechot, Koyin takes it from your hands. We learn from here that Tnufa is part of the process. Limud ala Bekurim Shetunin Tnufa. Divrei hu shitezer Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. How do we see tenufa in the words "V'lokach hakayin hatanim yedecha"? My time to Rosh Yaakov. He learns by way of a gzera shava asir. We connect yad from shlomim, from the carbon shlomim where tenufa is required. Clearly in the pasuk there, k'sivacha, because over here by bikurim it says "V'lokach hakayin hatanim yedecha," your hands. Uksiv hasam by shlomim it says yadav tviyena. He brings it with his hands. Asisha Hashem, and the pasuk speaks about waving it. We connect the two contexts. And we import tenufa from Shlomim over to Bikurim. And actually we share information back and forth to give us a deeper insight into the step-by-step process entailed in tenufa. Ma'kan koin af lahalon koin, just like by Bikurim, the koin was involved. Lokacha koin, he takes it. There as well, by tenufa of Shlomim, the koin is involved. He's also holding on to the material and waving it back and forth. Malahalan Balam, Afkan Balam. And just like by the Shlomim, Yodav to Vienna, the owner brings it, so the Balam is involved in that process. Here as well by the Bikurim, the owner is involved, the farmer is involved in waving it. So it's a joint effort. Okay, so how do you bring this about? Maniach Koin Yodav Tachas Yodav Tachas Yodav Balam. So the farmer is holding onto the basket, the Koin places his hands beneath it, and they wave it back and forth, to and fro, and up and down. So Tenufa by Bikurim is learned from the Gzeira Shava of Shlomim, leaving us with an extra pasuk of Yinachtei, which is the double reference, the second reference to placing it before the Mizbeach, which reinforces its obligation, and the repetition makes it for Le'akev, makes it critical to the process. Okay, so bottom line, we have an interesting machlokes regarding Bikurim, where we have Kriya, we have Anocha, we have Tenufa. Which one is Me'akev? We have Machlekes regarding Kriya. We have Machlekes regarding Hanocha, whether it's Me'akev, and likewise, whether Tenufa is Me'akev. And in terms of the story of the Rava's story, where Zor ate an Oila before Zrika outside the Chayma, there are 5 Yisurim, but actually we came up with more. We discussed concept of a lav avo mechlal asay, which doesn't have the same status as a lav. We thought it did, then we switched it. In fact, we said that he's potter because even if a czar eats before zrika, because the pasuk of warning of the czar, according to this opinion, is only with reference to kosher or karbanis, as opposed to before zrika, where it's not available to anybody. Therefore, the pasuk of azalo yechal doesn't apply. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rav.